This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
So we're going to do the first part of Perek Shlishi in Moed Katan, which is Daf Yud Dalad Amud Aleph. Yud Gimel Amud Beis and Yud Dalad Amud Aleph. The beginning of the Elu Megalchim. So the Mishnah starts, listen to this, the Mishnah at the beginning of this particular Perek starts, the Elu Begalchim B'moed, these are the people who are allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. And it lists a number of people who were unable to shave before Chol HaMoed. Habobim Dinasayam, somebody's just come from overseas, just in the middle of Yom Tov or seconds before Yom Tov. Umibes HaShviyo, they've just been let out from captivity. Bayutzimibes HaSurim, they've just been let out of jail. Person was in Nidui when he wasn't allowed to shave, and they've just released him. All sorts of cases where you could not have shaved before Yom Tov, you're allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed. That's the Mishnah goes on. It's the same with laundry, certain things that you can't do laundry, and so on, and why. So the Gemara, the very beginning of the Gemara, seven lines or so from the top of the next page, of Yudalad Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, "Usha'ar kol odom ma'itayma asurim." Why is everybody else prohibited from shaving? So it's an interesting question, very unusual for the Gemara. Normally the Gemara makes a statement of something that's forbidden, and that's it, that's where your starting point is, this is forbidden. The Gemara starts off by saying, I understand why those people can shave, but why can't everybody shave? What's the basis of the issue? And the Rishonim have a problem with that. Because it's a melacha. There's a Mishnah that says that Giluach is a melacha. It's on Chol HaMoed, we're not allowed to do melachas. The same as on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we're not allowed to do melachas. Just on Chol HaMoed, they allowed certain melachas. Melachas that you need for Yom Tov. Melachas that if you don't do, it will cause you financial loss. There's certain areas where they allowed you to do certain melachas. But the principle is that there are melachas. These are activities that are not permitted, and shaving is one of them. So why is the Gemara so surprised? It's Chol HaMoed. We're not surprised. Why aren't you allowed to write on Chol HaMoed? Not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. Yeah, unless it's as part of something that you have to do because you'll lose money otherwise, and then you have to do it with a shinui and everything that goes with it. But we're not astonished. Why aren't you allowed to write? You're not allowed to write because writing is a malacha. You're not allowed to shave because shaving is a malacha. Why should you be allowed to do that? So there are two. There are two approaches in the Rishonim as to what kind of a malacha this is. The Ritvo says it's a malacha gemura. It's an absolute malacha. Shaving is an absolute malacha. It's like writing. In which case it makes the question harder. So why is the Gemara amazed? Why is the Gemara astonished? Of course, then it's also. The Meiri says it became. Let's go further in the Gemara before we argue to the Meiri. Answers the Gemara. Kidisnan anshe mishmar v'anshe maimad asurin v'saper v'chabis v'chabishim mutorim v'nei kovda shabbos. There's such a thing called a mishmar and such a thing called a maimad. Mishmar is that they were masakin 24 mishmoras. They divided all the kohanim into 24 groups, and each group served for a week. So a kohen was on for 1 week and then off for 23 weeks, serving in the Beis HaMikdash. They weren't in the Beis HaMikdash all the time. There were always Kohanim there, but not the same Kohanim. The rest of the time, they were teaching, they were learning, they were doing other things. But in the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, it was a Mishmah. And the Gemara says, what about everybody else? We're bringing a Korban Tomid. Who are we bringing the Korban Tomid for? For Klal Yisrael. For Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, how can Klal Yisrael be carrying on doing their business while you're supposed to be standing alongside your Korban? You don't just send the Korban to the Beis HaMikdash and then go. If you're bringing a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, you stand by the korban. Again, you feel it, you're with it, you're present with it. Otherwise, what do you get out of it? So, how can Klal Yisrael be bringing a korban, and all we've got there is the Anshei Mishmah, the Kohanim from that particular Mishmah, and everybody else is going and doing their normal thing? So the Klal Yisrael was also divided into 24 groups, and they were called Ma'amodos. And the people of the Ma'amod used to be still while the korban was being brought. So there was a period when you were on duty for a week, even though you were the Kohen, and during the time of the Korban Tomid, you stopped what you were doing, you focused on the Korban Tomid, and that's what you stood by wherever you were, even if you went to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, those people weren't allowed to go to the barber during that period, that week, and not to launder their clothes. The Chamishim Mutarim, but on Thursday they could, Mipnei Kovod HaShabbos, for Shabbos. What's the reason they can't do that? Answers, so that they shouldn't come into their shift looking unkempt. So if they know it's a whole week now until Thursday that I can't go to the barber and I can't take care of my appearance, I better do it now before my mishmar starts. So everybody came looking sparkling clean and very lovely and very groomed, and that was the way to start the mishmar. The same applies here, that the reason for not shaving during Chol HaMoed is so that we don't come into Yom Tov in a state of nivul, in a state of unkemptness. So the Meiri says, that's the real reason. The Meiri says shaving is not a melacha. The Chachomim Chazal made it a melacha in order that people will take care of themselves before Yom Tov. And why is that so important? Because what's the first mitzvah when Yom Tov starts? What do you have to do? What's the first thing on the Shalosh Regalim? You say Kiddush on the night, okay. And the next morning, what's the first thing you do? Go to the Beis HaMikdash. So you're going to receive the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what we're interested in is when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you should look good. And the technique the Chazal use is, this is your last chance for 8 days or for the week. This is your last chance to groom yourself. So everybody makes sure that they're well-groomed, and they come to the Beis HaMikdash, and everybody's looking wonderful. And that's how it means. Then they look a little bit grubby for the rest of Yom Tov, but at least for the time they come before the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're looking spick and span, and they're looking wonderful. That's the reason. So the Meiri says it's not a melacha per se. It's not inherently a melacha. Chazal made it a melacha in order to encourage people to take care of themselves before. So according to the Meiri, understand the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, why aren't you allowed to shave? It's not a melacha. Answers the Gemara, we're making it a melacha. You're right, it's not a melacha, we're making it a melacha. So understand the Meiri. What about the Ritvo? It says it is a melacha. Well, how does the Ritvo understand? So why should it be mutter? Says the Ritvo, an amazing thing. He says, since the purpose of, since shaving and grooming is about Yipui Gufa, about making his body and his face look more appealing, it's like Tzorech Oichel Nefesh, it's like cooking. And just as you can do that on Chol HaMoed, you should be able to do this on Chol HaMoed also. In the same way as we say, an Oiso Isho Tachshiteho, a woman can take care of her makeup and she can take care of her jewelry on Yom Tov and her clothing, even on Chol HaMoed. Why? Says the Ritvo, the principle is Tzorech Oichel Nefesh. That's why. So I ask you, is it really Tzorech Oichel Nefesh? Is this like eating? Eating is a matter of survival. Why? How can the Ritvo say that grooming yourself is like Tzorech Oichel Nefesh? But if we understand what Tzorech Oichel Nefesh is, then we'll understand a little bit better. Tzorech Oichel Nefesh is like, it doesn't say Tzorech Oichel Guf. It's interesting, isn't it? It doesn't say you've got to eat for the sake of your body. It's Tzorech Oichel Nefesh. To eat for the sake of your aliveness. I translate nefesh as aliveness. Nefesh is the life force of the human being. It's not the neshama and it's not the guf. It's the life force of the human being. Tzorech Oichel Nefesh, why that word? So one way you can understand it is as we've learned in the Chaim Volozhiner, where we said you need food in order to keep the nefesh attached to the body, just as you need tefillah to keep Hashem attached to the world, and mitzvahs and esek haTorah. So Tzorech Oichel Nefesh means you're allowed to eat food so that your nefesh remains attached to the body. But let's use my translation and say so that your aliveness remains in your body. You could survive without cooking on Yom Tov, but what kind of Yom Tov would you be having? What about your aliveness? There's a Tosfos in Brochus that talks about the Brocha Achron, the Borei Nefoshes Rabbis, the Chesroinon al Kol Mashe Baroso. Chesroinon means that without which you cannot manage. So that's bread, water, the basics. That's the staple. What is Borei Nefoshes Rabbos v'chesroinon al kol ma sheboroso l'hachayos bohem nefesh kol chai? Asks Tosfos, what does that mean? You say, Bore Nefoshus, Rabbis, you made many different Nefoshus, many different people, the Chesroinon, and you provided that without which they cannot survive. Al Kol Ma'asher Bore Olam, over and above everything you created. Lahachayos Bohem Nefesh Kol Chai, says Tosfos, that means variety. All the millions of different fruit, who needs them? For Nourish, you don't need them. Have one fruit that has all the vitamins in it. Have bread, have one fruit, and like the dietitians say, one fruit, one protein, one carbohydrate. So you just have one thing for each. Have a potato that has all the starch you need. Have a piece of meat that has all the protein you need. Have a fruit that has an apple. And you've got three things to worry about. Come home for breakfast, you have three. You have an apple and a potato and a piece of meat. Come to lunch, you have an apple and a potato and a piece of meat. You have supper. That's what you live. It's a chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What would happen if we lived like that? We would survive. We can survive on that. But there would be no chayus. There wouldn't be nefesh. There would be no aliveness. We would be alive, but it would be without aliveness. For aliveness, you need variety. You need color, you need fragrance, you need sensual variety for chayus, for aliveness. In that case, when we say that it's tzurich oichel nefesh, what do we mean? Not that you're allowed to cook just the minimum that you need to survive. That's an interesting question. Why isn't it like that on Yom Tov? Why don't we say on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook, but only what you absolutely need for survival? If you don't need for Thursday Yom Tov, you ate a lot the day before, and you just need a glass of water or two, then you can't cook. Second day Yom Tov, you can cook what you need. We don't say that. You can cook whatever you want. You can make the most delicious things. And you're meant to. Why? Tzorech eichel nefesh, because there's no aliveness without that. In that case, says the Ritva, grooming is part of it. If you understand nefesh as the sense of being alive, what do you feel like when you feel like a shlach? You don't feel alive. It's part of being alive. It's tzorech eichel nefesh. You can't stop somebody, even though it's a malacha. Says the Gemara, ushar kol odem maitaima asurim, even though it's a malacha, why do we asur it? We allow people to cook. Why can't they take care of their grooming? It's tzorech eichel nefesh. Unbelievable Ritva. And the Gemara answers and says, yeah, you're right, but what we're really interested in is the way people feel and appear on the first day Yom Tov when they go to the Beis HaMikdash. That's when they really have to be absolutely fine. And we're concerned that if we allow them to take care of themselves during Yom Tov, they won't do it before Yom Tov. Now, what I want to look at briefly, and I must just remind you, as I've said often before, these shiurim are not piskei halacha. I'm not giving you a halachic conclusion. Because that's different, depends on many more sources and many more factors and situations. You can't learn halacha psukah just in a out of the Gemara, but it will give us insights into the issue. So what I want to look at with you is, what does the Gemara mean by shaving? Does it mean shaving your head? Does it mean a haircut? Does it mean shaving your face? Does it mean trimming your beard? What does it mean? So I want to take you through part of the first Tosfos on the page in the Muda Vashinishal, and we'll start in the narrow lines of the Tosfos at the end of the first narrow line of the Tosfos. Says Tosfos, "V'giluach harosh nami osur b'moed." Shaving your head is osur on chol hamoed. The Amar b'Gemara shelo yikansu l'regel menuvalim. Because the Gemara says we don't want you to come into the Yom Tov unkempt. There's nothing as disgusting as a person with untrimmed hair, a person with long hair. Terrible. That's not how you come into Yom Tov. So the first, there are three approaches in this Tosfos. This is the first one. So what Tosfos is saying is that your head, the hair on your head, we're talking about two hairs. We're talking about trimming your head and trimming your face. Let's call it that way. Trimming your head, says Tosfos, that's what it's talking about. So who's allowed to trim their head? Only people who've just come out of prison and captivity, people who could not possibly have done it before Yom Tov. Everybody else has to do it before Yom Tov and may not do it after, may not do it on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. The Shema, another way of learning it is, Loiko itame bigmoro ela ashor aval gilu ashor roisho osu mishu melocha afilu b'makom oynes. The second possibility is that no, your head, that even from an onus, even if you had an onus, even if it was beyond your control, you didn't have a haircut before Yom Tov, that doesn't mean that you can have one on Yom Tov. Haircut is out no matter what. And the Gemara's discussion about saying why is Giluach not allowed? Shaving the head is not allowed because that's a melacha. That's a melacha Gemara. Shaving your face is not a melacha Gemara. The reason that's not allowed is to encourage you to do it before Yom Tov. That's just grooming. That's the second thing. So now we have one view that shaving the head and shaving the face are shaving the head is worse. And you can never do it, shaving the face, only if you're an honest. The second way is, both of them only if you're an honest. They're the same. Both of them are grooming, and you should do it before Yom Tov. If you didn't do it before Yom Tov, you can't do it on Yom Tov. And in any case, you can't do it on Yom Tov, and unless you were an honest before. And then he goes on to say a third view. And there's a third view. That maybe your head you're allowed to do on Yom Tov even without an onus. Goes to the other extreme. And what would be the reason for that? Moshe Feinstein explains. The reason for that would be some people grow their hair to look good. Not all long hair is bad grooming. So some people cut their hair to groom themselves, and some people grow their hair to groom themselves. So Tosfos says maybe that your head of the hair, that's personal. That's personal. If you want to cut it, cut it. That's not the issue. It's not a melocha. And nor are we worried about nivel because that's dependent on fashion and on personality. But the face, the facial hair and taking care of the grooming of the face, that is mutter maybe altogether. What is this one? Sorry, that the head is mutter altogether and the shaving your face is only bonus. So you're not allowed to shave your face. Why? To encourage you to do it before Yom Tov. It's not a melacha. Also not a melacha. The reason you do it is because you should have done it before Yom Tov, and that's why you can't do it on Yom Tov. Shaving your head, that's fashion. You want to shave your head, shave it. You want to grow your hair long, grow your hair long as it looks good. But as far as facial hair is concerned, that's grooming. The time to do it is before Yom Tov starts, not once Yom Tov is in. Those are the three views in Tosfos. So again, summarizing, the first view is that the head, you're not allowed to shave even if you're an honest. Face, if you're an honest. In all cases, in all three, the face, only if you're an honest. So that's established. The question is the top of the head. So the first view says, top of the head, you may never, no matter whether you're an honest or not. Second view says, only if you're an honest. And the third view says, you can shave it even if you're not an honest. So we're stable on the facial hair, that you can do only if you're an honest. On the top of your head, you can do three different views. One is you can never, one is if you're an honest, and one is you can do it even if you're not an honest. Those are Tosfos' three views. But then Tosfos brings a fourth view, but Moshe Feinstein holds it in the next Tosfos, there's a fourth view. But Tosfos says, the Yesh Meforshim, in the middle of the next Tosfos, this whole discussion in the Gemara is talking about head only. The asrinan mishum tircha. The reason is not because of malacha. It's got nothing to do with malacha. It's because of tircha. It's a big thing to go to cut your hair and do it properly, and it's a tircha. But the Gemara asks, since it's for the moed, why are you doing it? You're doing it for Yom Tov. Maybe it should be allowed. The reason you're cutting your hair is to look good on Yom Tov, so maybe that should be allowed. And the Gemara says, no, if we allow you to do it on Yom Tov, you won't do it before Yom Tov, and that's not good. And that doesn't support the view in the Mishnah that shaving the top of the head is a melacha gemura. But Moshe Feinstein holds that this view in Tosfos is holding that the top of your head only be'ones, and the bottom and your face, he holds, Tosfos is saying in the fourth view, that's completely mutter. That's not a melacha, and nor are we worried about you should have done it before. And why is that so? So if we say, and maybe it is a melacha, why would you be allowed to do it? So we would have to use the ritual. If that's tzoricha chol nefesh, maybe in a sense. But even shaving the top of your head, that's melacha gemura. And melacha gemura you can't do at all. Chol HaMoed. Now, we're only talking about a melacha with respect to Chol HaMoed. It's not with Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's definitely a melacha. question is with respect to Chol HaMoed as the Melacha. So according to the last view, your head only be only on onus, and your face, it could be, is mutter anyway, even without an onus. It's mutter completely. What's interesting is, there's a discussion in the Rishonim about washing. If the Mordechai asks, if the whole purpose of not shaving is in order to encourage you to be groomed before Yom Tov, why don't you say you can't take a shower on Chol HaMoed either? To make sure that you should take a shower before Yom Tov comes in. It's a good kasher. If that's the whole reason. So according to the Ritvo, who says Giluach is a melocha, shaving is a melocha, but maybe it should be allowed for the reasons he says, that's fine. But according to the Meiri's view and Tosis, that it is a melocha, according to Tosfos's view, certainly here in the end, and according to the view of the Meiri, that it's a melacha only because of getting ready for Yom Tov to start off with. Why didn't they make washing also a melacha? Same as it's a melacha on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wash. Let's say you're not allowed to wash on Chol HaMoed, so that you're washed before Chol HaMoed. Answers the Mordechai. What's his answer? Because, you know, some people that during the 9 days don't wash. What is the Mordechai's answer? He says it's not like shaving at all. Shaving you don't do every day. Washing you do. So we're not worried that because you're allowed to shower on Mondays, and because you're allowed to shower on Chol HaMoed, you're not going to shower 2 days earlier. You shower every day. You wash every day. That's not going to make a difference. What do you see from the Mordechai? That when he talks about Giluach, he's not talking about our kind of Giluach. Not talking about people who shave every day. So either he's talking about people, and in those days sometimes even the face, they used to shave less frequently. They used to go to a barber for shaving very often. So there we go, once a week, twice a week. Always talking about Giluach HaRosh. But it's interesting that it would seem, according to the Mordechai, that they used to, firstly, they used to wash every day, and that they used to shave, but they did not used to shave every day, which would give us an opening. What I'm suggesting here is there's certainly a possibility to say that shaving today is not what the Gemara is talking about at all. There's also good reason not to say that. That's why I say this is not psak halacha. There's good reason to, certainly as you work through Mishneh Berurah, there's good reason to say that it applies to all forms of shaving. But if you look at here, there are really two bases to say that it's different. The one basis is the fourth view in Tosfos. The fourth view in Tosfos seems to hold that the whole discussion is about head hair cutting and not face hair cutting, and that face hair cutting is mutana in any event. And you've got the Mordechai that says that washing wasn't forbidden because it's done every day, implying that our kind of shaving might be put into the category. If it's not a melacha, if it's a melacha, there's nothing we can do. It's a melacha, that's it. We don't have flexibility. But if not, we could say, if it's not a melacha, we could say that shaving, the way we shave, is put into the category of washing. It's part of the way we keep ourselves clean. And therefore, that kind of shaving, maybe there's a basis to say, not only should be mutter on Yom Tov, but if it's not a melacha, I'm told Rabbi Yosha Ben Soloveitchik used to say that it's not that you're allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, you have to shave on Chol HaMoed, if you shave every day normally. Because of Kavod Yom Tov, that's all right? That you've got to shave. So there are people who hold that you've got to shave. Not that you're allowed to shave, but you've got to shave on Yom Tov. So you've got to say, the Gemara says melacha. So what I've shown you is there's a basis to say that it isn't a melacha, or that it's a melacha only in order to that one doesn't shave, that there are four different shittas in Tosfos, and there's a Mordechai. So that the people who say that it's that not only that it's permitted, there's nobody who says it's permitted to shave. It's either not permitted or you're obligated to. So people who say, well, I'll shave once during Chol HaMoed, that's nonsense. Either you hold that it's not a melacha and that it doesn't apply and therefore it's part of Kavod Yom Tov, it's like washing, or you say it is a melacha, in which case you can't do it, but at least you see there's a spectrum. One of the important things when we learn Gemara is to understand that there's a spectrum. We get dogmatic. When you learn halacha without Gemara, you just learn one halacha. You're not allowed to shave, you're not allowed to do this, you may do this, you can't do that, and you get very dogmatic. And then you hear of a Rav, like you say, Rav Lichtenstein says that you're allowed to, and you say, isn't that because? Because I learned in the Mishneh Berurah, you can't. But when you learn Gemara with Rishonim, you start seeing the spectrum of halachic reasoning, and that the poskim have the ability to be able to find their place in the right position in the spectrum according to their society and their way of understanding the sugyas and the needs of the people that they serve.